Welcome to today's South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations conference call. Participation in this call is by express invitation of South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations only. Unauthorized participants and or any party that aids and abets such unauthorized participants may be subject to criminal and civil penalties under both state and federal law. Please disconnect from the call if South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations did not expressly invite your participation. A question and answer session will follow the presentation, and instructions for asking questions will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Scott Duke.
Thank you, operator, and thanks everyone for taking time for the call today. I'll give a brief overview of what's happened on the federal side, and then Deborah Owen will kind of talk to you about what's shaken out on our state legislative session. And then we'll have time for question at the end. So first off, the calendar. When you look at what's happening in Washington, more activity than we've seen overall, and that's due to being in session more. Both the House and the Senate will be in session the next 2 weeks, and then they will take a break the week of February 20th for the President's Day holiday and be out through the 24th. They will return on the 27th, and then they're in all the month of March, maybe a little bit on a Friday or a Monday where they'll work part days, but that is a welcomed change, we think. Overall, they'll be then out into April, they'll be taking a break for Easter holiday around the 10th, the week of the 10th and the 17th, but they'll be in prior to that. So lots going to be coming out of D.C., we think, with the activity. And as a reminder for the calendar, we're going to talk about the Republican retreat. The Democratic retreat will occur next week, and then there'll be more to report on that. So out of Washington, maybe you heard today a little bit of, demonstration of their own. Anyway, House and Human Secretary nominee Representative Tom Price was due to be considered in the Senate Finance Committee and moved out today his nomination to the floor of the Senate, but due to a boycott of the meeting by all Democrats, that was not possible. To be clear, it is expected that Representative Price is expected, his nomination is expected to move forward and receive approval ultimately, but right now the timing is unclear. In addition, later this week in other news, there are hearings being held in Energy and Commerce Committee regarding insurance markets, some hearings around that, and really you'll hear a little bit more around what's going to happen, you know, post-ACA and what might be the case. Right now, really on these hearings, we're monitoring those and watching those with our national partners, and there's not really anything to comment at this time. We'll see what comes out of those hearings later this week, so stay tuned. And then in the White House, President Trump, I'm going to talk about some executive orders that he issued in a minute, but today he's meeting with pharmaceutical leaders from the industry, and he's been really messaging something we appreciate and support, and that is that we need to get those drug prices down, and we'll see if he can stay on point to that message. That's a welcome message, which we're in step with, but we'll monitor that. A little bit from the Republican retreat. So out of the Republican retreat, there was a more solidification or solid repair as a part of what you always hear from repeal and replace. So Speaker Ryan did make a reference, and out of the retreat, repair continues to resonate, which really is part of our overall messaging, that you can't replace without repeal without replacing simultaneously. And that message is picking up speed. The Republicans, are still not clear on what it is that they would replace with. So the goal now is, we thought there might be a vote in February. It now looks like there might be a vote late March or even April. So that's due to the field and many of you who are calling and messaging and sending emails. There was actually a really good story, if you saw it, in last Friday's Washington Post, which apparently somebody snuck into the retreat and was able to record a significant portion that's been validated. A number of members who were saying, we can't repeal without replace. So We can send out a link to that story. I don't have it in front of me here, but if you're interested, or just Google up the post. So, again, what I would say is going on is that up to four senators now have signed on to saying we can't repeal without replace. That messaging is working, so we need to keep that up as we go forward. What they're really worried about and came out of the retreat is that, you know, if they don't do this right on replacement, which we're worried about, then without things like high-risk pools and how to consider those, market stabilization issues, that insurance premiums could increase precipitously, and they, the Republicans, would own that. So that is our big concern, along with the eroding of coverage and access issues. And so from the retreat, I think the messaging that we're sending is working with our national partners. On Medicaid itself, not a lot of news in terms of where the reform would go. You know, we reported last week, then post that the coalition has met, and we had a little story in the newsletter. The thing right now is there's a lot of discussion, a lot of talk about the three primary areas: block grants, caps on funding, and per capita caps, and what all would be involved with those. States that have expanded, of course, are discussing with each other, oh my gosh, if we lose that $72 billion that is in the budget in terms of the expanded 31 states, what would we do? States that didn't expand, what would they do? So there's some coalescing that's going on there. Again, no one knows. AHA, as a national partner, is holding calls every Friday, their town hall calls, and so check your emails for those and do participate, because they give current updates. MNAT has been hired and brought on board as a national consultant with AHA to work through a number of these issues as they come up, and we'll continue to work back on the state side with the governor's office as well through the coalition. And then finally, on the federal side, let me just wrap up by talking a little bit about two executive orders that have come out. Actually, yesterday, AHA released a statement related to both immigration and regulatory relief. So first, on immigration, need to hear from you. We do, if there are concerns in terms of patient care, education, or research, i.e. through the immigration ban and where we're at on this 90-day hold. Of course, healthcare workers, potentially impacted students, medical providers. So the discussion, we haven't heard from anyone yet that this is being causing big concerns in South Dakota, but please let us know. On the regulatory relief side, we've talked about this a number of times. This year alone, more than 23,000 pages have been added to the piles of regulations, that new regulations that have come out. And so, again, we've adopted the AHA list of comprehensive, that's divided into rules that are promulgated at CMS, that are other agencies within HHS, and then also through other department, federal government departments. And those are in the hands of our congressional delegation, and we're continuing to push forward. Trump's executive order did have the tone and tenor which we liked, and it's sort of like this: for every new regulation, two have to be, you know, repealed or reduced. And so we're on that track, and to that end, we're supportive of that. And we appreciate the support as we go forward, because there's just a number of priority issues in the both in the on the hospital side and on the nursing home long-term care side. So let me end there, and I'll certainly answer questions, and now I'll turn it to Deborah to give a state update.
Thank you, Scott, and welcome, everyone. Just wanted to let you know, Scott and I are both in the state capitol, so you actually are getting an update from the capitol in here on the legislature. I just want to talk a little bit about the legislative calendar, and then we'll talk about some current issues and some future issues that we see down the road. So for the legislative calendar, we are entering week four. There are 9 weeks total, so there are 5 weeks remaining after this week. A reminder that we have 4-day work weeks, except for the last week of session, the last of the main run, we call this in South Dakota, which ends on March 10th, and then, of course, there is veto day, and veto day will be March 27th of this year. In terms of deadline for bills, Thursday was our first deadline. Legislators are allowed to have an unlimited number of bills up until Thursday of last week, and then today is their last drop-dead day for new bills. Although, as many of you know, does that mean there'll never be a new bill? And the answer is sort of, because you will find that you can amend an entire body of the bill and then amend the title, and we call that hogging a bill in PEER. So if a bill gets hogged, it's technically a new subject matter, but with an old number. So that's kind of how that rolls here. For current issues, I just wanted to give you a brief update. The Healthcare Coalition, which is the governor's healthcare coalition, for a long time that focused on Medicaid expansion, and now that it's pivoted to Medicaid reform. We had the first official meeting this last week, really was led by Kim Malzum-Ryzen, who is the Secretary of Department of Health. She talked about the purpose of this new coalition, which has helped keep stakeholders informed and manage the federal changes that are occurring, and then to build a consensus or have some consensus points so we can influence and leverage that federal funding policy down the road. I think Scott shared last week with the governor was in D.C. They talked a little bit about, as he shared with the Congress, about block grants and some of those things that are difficult for South Dakota because we didn't expand Medicaid, so now we have a lower federal amount to match that up with. But moving forward with that healthcare coalition, we want to work on areas that we may have some influence in terms of future legislation. They talked about work requirements possibly and include personal responsibility or preventative type of incentives, like getting a primary care from a clinic rather than from an ER. And they also talked about IHS reimbursement and what would that look like moving down the road. In other current issues, I want to talk a little bit about House Bill 1003. That is the transfer and sale of long-term care nursing beds. That passed committee last week and has been on the floor and has been deferred. We think it will maybe be deferred again, but Public Policy Council's position has been to oppose that bill. We think we have the votes to kill it in the House, whether it's today or tomorrow. We're continuing to work that bill with the healthcare advocacy group, along with Sadaho and our team members here. So I want to let you know that the Senate Bill 1, which is a prescriber bill, it came through the interim study on substance abuse. That passed the last committee, the Senate committee, or the House committee this morning. It will be on the House of Representatives tomorrow or sometime this week. That was a real win for our whole healthcare group, all of our health advocacy folks, and in Sadaho, where we, through that mechanism, we amended that bill to require prescribers to register, but then we were able to have Senate Bill 2 tabled, which would have had the stick and would have removed civil immunity for those prescribers. So we are thankful that this win is just nearly done before it hits to the hope it should be on the governor's desk next week for signature. Also, to let you know, the transgender bill has been withdrawn. For those of you who are tired of South Dakota being on national news for bad reasons, it's good to know that one has been withdrawn and won't be part of the debate up here in PEER. IM-22 update, that if you receive the Argus, and I'm sure other papers around the state, you'll see those full-page ads where the legislators have had a fair amount of public input, mostly negative, about repealing the IM-22. It's House Bill 1069. Last Thursday, there was actually some threats. We had to have a number of officers come in and sweep the building. There was some threats about maybe some type of protest that would have, would have dumped bags of cash down on the senators, but may have harmed them as well. So there was a 517 rule invoked, which means they have to have an intervening day before they reconsider that bill. So the next time the Senate will take up IM-22 with repeal, which is House Bill 1069, will be on Wednesday. And so we'll see how that moves forward. And I also wanted to let you know the Public Policy Council met last week and reviewed a number of bills. One is 1058, House Bill 1058. They vote to oppose that bill. It is a placeholder bill in its substance, but the prime sponsors, which are Representative Anderson and Senator Partridge, intend to amend the bill to add language that will negatively affect hospital-owned insurance companies in South Dakota. So that is a very serious bill that we continue to watch and get updates on. House Bill 1070, the council voted to support. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding the licensure of physical therapists and physical therapist assistants. And that passed House Health this morning. One of the main components in that change is really to allow physical therapists not have to be with the physical therapist assistant at the first meeting, helping to expedite that plan for therapy. Especially it's a problem for those in rural areas who can't get out and get across South Dakota in time to meet with the PTA. The next bill is House Bill 1082, and this is an act to grant limited immunity from arrest and prosecution for certain related offenses to persons who assist certain persons in need of emergency assistance or who themselves are in need of emergency assistance. This is that bill that comes back every year. SDSMA has often supported this. The Public Policy Council voted to support this as well in terms of saving life. And this one has to do with more controlled substances. So it's that granted immunity. About 35 other states have already done this in one form or another. The main opponents to this is usually DCI, so we'll see how that goes moving forward. And then also Senate Bill 65, which is the tech school bill, we call that. That was after November the voters approved Constitutional Amendment R, which would allow the legislature to really manage that through setting up a board to manage our tech schools independent of the Board of Regents. That would have been a constitutional change. And now comes forward the bill to really allow for the, with local input from the tech schools, sets up a board that will govern and probably be more nimble toward those workforce requests from employers. The Public Policy Council supports this bill. A number of our members, I think both Sanford and Avera, supported this with public testimony last Thursday. I don't really know of any opponents to this bill at all, and of course we support it as well. Senate Bill 95 is an act to add cannabidiol oil to the list of Schedule 4 controlled substances and excludes it from the definition of marijuana. The Public Policy Council voted to monitor this bill. This is being pushed in part by Senator Curd. It really is to focus on those children who have seizures, and folks who may be recovering from cancer. Generally, the AG has historically opposed this. But he has recently issued a press release urging the DEA and FDA to begin to test this and to make that perhaps down the path of being a legal way to treat some folks if that's what they find. And then for future issues, I just wanted to touch base a little bit on the non-nurse midwifery bill. That has dropped. The Public Policy Council will review that on Thursday of this week. And frankly, we do think they have the votes. We have worked many hours to try to get this in the best shape we could. Department of Health has actually helped draft the bill over the summer, and so we know that they won't be opposing it, and then you won't likely have the governor veto it. So we've tried to make it as great of shape we could to protect our providers especially. We still have some amendments that didn't get added into the bill. It will be a point of contention, I believe, moving forward. The Policy Council will weigh in on that on Thursday, but the big issue that we couldn't have amended that Debbie Pease, who is their a lobbyist and their advocate, did not want to put into the bill is a stronger definition of a low-risk mother-baby unit. We believe that needs to be narrowed, and so I think that may be a great pivot for us to see if we can work toward amending the bill, and if we cannot, to oppose it. I should point out that the prime of leadership, both House and Senate leaders, are the primes on this bill. I will say, you know, we disagree with her. I like her as a person. She's a good advocate, and for about 15 or more years, she has continued to hone this bill down to something that I think legislators will either vote because they like it or they'll vote yes because they want it to go away. So in wrapping up, I just want to encourage you to attend the Cracker Barrels this Saturday, February 4th. All of those are listed on our website. And if you want to have any kind of speaking points for a specific bill, please call us and we can help you with those speaking points, or you can talk to your public policy advocacy folks in your systems as well. Saturday, I just wanted to let you know, in Sioux Falls is at the Ramcota. It starts at 10 o'clock. In Yankton, you'll find it at 9:30 at Avera's Sacred Heart Pavilion. And then I just wanted to touch base on School of Mines in Rapid City. It starts at 9 o'clock. But please make sure you check that website and be actively engaged in public policy in South Dakota. Thank you so much, and back to you, Scott.
Well, thanks, Deborah. Okay, so with that, we're going to go to the operator, and we'll open it up to questions.
Thank you, Mr. Duke. And at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, press 0, followed by a 1 on your touchtone phone. Questions will be answered in the order they are received. If you have a question, press 0, followed by a 1 now. Please hold for a moment as our system compiles your responses. Our first question comes from Kurt Holman from Avera. Please go ahead.
Scott, I know there's quite a bit of copycat legislation going on at the state legislature copying the federal. I'm wondering if maybe members, we should solicit, you know, the David Letterman top 10 list of regulations we would like to see eliminated in case the, you know, they want to start doing that where, you know, okay, if we create one legislation, we need to get rid of two. I just wonder if we should be poised, ready to say, yep, we got our list right here of what we'd like to see.
Oh, thanks, Kurt. Like the suggestion a lot, and it's timely as we just today at a staff meeting, Dirk was talking, it's about time to get our federal issues brief underway, and it will certainly include that. So what we'll do is post this call, we'll do a survey to list some of those, share those, and then solicit feedback so we can get to a kind of a priority top list. Thank you.
As a reminder to our audience, you may ask a question or make a comment by pressing 01 now. And at this moment, we do not have any questions in the queue.
All right. Thank you, operator. And thanks, everyone, again, for taking the time. Have a great rest of your week. And let us know if you're going to be in and around the Pier area, a number of activities going on as we get ready. Our reminder to you as we exit is on the 21st is our all-district meeting, and we're going to have Governor Dugard speak, and then there was a save the date set out today. So enjoy the rest of your week, and thanks again.
Thank you all for your attention. This concludes today's conference call. All participants may now disconnect.